Welcome, everyone. Dana Louise Williams here. I am your host of this interview series called The Energetics of the Soul. And we have a very, very special guest today, and her name is Mira Kelly. And Mira is the perfect guest for this subject because she has a beautiful connection with parallel lives, and she is very well respected in the healing community. So I want to tell you a little bit more about Mira. Mira Kelly is a world-renowned expert on past life regression and the best-selling author of Beyond Past Lives. She facilitates workshops, retreats, individual consultations, and speaks around the world promoting the healing and transformation available through regression. Stories from Mira's sessions are included in the book Wishes Fulfilled by Dr. Wayne W. Dyer and in Miracles Happen by Brian L. Weiss and on Oprah.com. So I'm sure our listeners are going to want to know more about you, Mira, and they can do that at www.mirakelly.com. So for now, let's welcome you and get into this yummy subject.
Hello, Donna. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure. I was so happy when I discovered you, and I did some research so that I could be able to converse with you on this because I didn't know of you before our series, and I just feel so blessed to be speaking with you today. I'm hoping that you can tell us how you kind of landed in this genre of healing, because it's a really interesting story, and then we're going to go on and talk more about what you do.
Absolutely. So I came into the world of past life regression through my own desperate need for healing. I had learned about the subject earlier in my teen years, and I had a profound experience that gave me, at such a young and tender age, the understanding of what is my purpose here on earth, you know, the bigger lessons that I'm here to work through. And that was a great and wonderful experience, but as you can imagine, life continues for any teenager as it did for me. And so I came into the work again of past life regression when I was already working as a corporate attorney in a very large law firm in New York City, and I developed a very painful physical condition, a TMJ, which I was not able to heal through the route that was being offered to my by my healthcare practitioner, by my dentist. And so he suggested that after all this effort, after a whole year of trying to heal me through everything imaginable, every tool he had in his practice, he simply said that I just need to have an operation, or I need to learn to live with chronic pain for the rest of my life. And the way he described the operation, it sounded horrible. He said that I need to have my jaw broken in order to somehow heal the inflammation of the muscles around the jaw. And I got to tell you, it did not make any sense to me, nor did I really want to have my jaw broken, right? And so it was in this desperation that I remembered doing the regression, the past life regression as a kid. And I remember reading back then how people can just experience profound moments of emotional and physical healing simply by experiencing a story of another lifetime in their minds. And so, not knowing where else to turn, I said, why not? And so I experienced a past life in which I I saw myself as a slave who had this big metal collar around my neck, and so I had this very clear and distinct awareness that the main pain where was in my body as mirror was the very same place where that man had this big metal collar as a slave that he was hurting his jaw. And so I was left out of this experience, this connection with a past life, feeling very emotional. It was a very emotionally cathartic experience. It awoke a lot of sadness, a lot of, you know, regret, a lot of questions of why was this man so physically powerful but emotionally felt so powerless. And I got to tell you, I did not find the answers. I just simply had those questions out there. But here's the extraordinary part of this story. The following morning, I woke up and the pain was completely gone. And even though I say it's an extraordinary part of the story, I also got to say that there really isn't anything unusual about my story, because this is the kind of transformation I witness with all of my clients every day. And this is the kind of power that past life regression offers as a tool for healing the body and giving the mind the understanding and the emotional release it needs.
Mm. Wow. So I have a question for you. Do you feel that perhaps your soul, the inclination to be a lawyer, gave you the credibility to be able to do what you do now and have that kind of extra respect?
I have to tell you, I never planned it to be that way. I never thought to myself, you know, I'm going to put myself through 3 years of law school, all that student debt, then going to all these years of misery every day and showing up and being a good attorney but not having my soul fulfilled. Yet, very early on in my career as a regressionist, I had a conversation with Wayne Dyer. And Wayne Dyer said to me, because you were an attorney, you are going to come across as very approachable and very normal and very relatable to most people. So you have a huge advantage in that. Mm-hmm. And he compared that to himself, right, saying me being a professor and somebody who was in the academic world, now bridging those two worlds, the spiritual and the material, physical world, is something you have as a benefit as well. So I didn't see it, but he saw it. And lo and behold, it is indeed the case. Mm-hmm. So thank you for bringing that up. Very perceptive of you.
Well, you know, I see a pattern with these beautiful experts that I'm speaking with. And yesterday, same thing. I was speaking to a lady that in mental health for 28 years and very, very credible. I mean, I didn't even read her whole bio because it was putting me to sleep. It was so long. And boom, she all of a sudden now has this amazing gift where she channels people's soul purpose. She doesn't even know what she's writing, but, you know, the credibility of her working in the mental health, you know, as a very, very credible person, my goodness, it seems perfect to me, because our world is hungry. There's so many skeptics that are, you know, people are at a crux with the pharmaceutical industries and medicine, and, you know, there's you know, so much going on with health issues, and then in step these people that have credibility, like yourself. And I love your story, because I truly believe all healing is self-healing, and that's exactly what you did. You followed the breadcrumbs and bumped into this, you know, and I understand you often call these parallel lives. Can you speak about that, Mara?
Sure. So I very early on came to learn through working with clients that time is simultaneous, which was quite a shock to me to learn that lifetimes, our past, present, and future are happening in this now moment. And it was a shock to me because up until that moment, everything I have studied in terms of other people's work and the literature and the tradition, the incarnational information offered by the different religious traditions was speaking of our lifetimes being linear from one to the other to the other. Hopefully in one life, you know, we don't create too much karma. We hopefully get to learn a little bit so that the next time around we have it easier, and hopefully we don't have to pay off that karma, that kind of lineage, right, that kind of tradition. And yet, what I learned is basically the 2.0, if you will, the quantum physics, if you will, of reincarnation, meaning that time is simultaneous, that everything occurs in this now moment. And so just because in another lifetime I was a slave and I had a metal collar around my neck, that is not the reason that causes in this lifetime for me to have the TMJ condition that I had. Because that was the old way of thinking, that, you know, I need to go search for my issues, for my challenges in the past. Because look at me, poor me, I am under the unknown powers of a past life, you know, something so hidden that I don't even understand it. And I really disapprove of this kind of explanation for regression or for the challenges we have in this lifetime, because it honestly disempowers us. It honestly asks of us to not really use the power of our mind and the strength of who we are and all the tools that we have. Instead, you know, it kind of gives all of that away to a past life. Instead, what I believe is really happening is that in that lifetime as a slave, my soul, and in this lifetime as Mira, my soul was looking to learn the same lesson of power and powerlessness and the ability to stand strong and tall for what you believe and be able to creatively have an impact on the world. And naturally, my soul was looking to create that experience and learn that lesson through two different points of view, right? Because think of this. When a soul, let's say, wants to imagine the and wants to learn, say, the topic of love, you don't learn about love just by being in a very loving relationship. That's beautiful, and we all want that closeness and intimacy and devotion and loyalty. But we also learn about love by being loyal to others who betray us, by us betraying others, by us being abandoned as children in orphanages, or mothers who go to prison, or fathers who are alcoholics, or you know, spouses who cheat on us cheating on our spouses, us being devoted to our babies and raising them, us being devoted or being challenged with needing to take care of our aging parents. So in other words, each one of those situations gives us a little different of a perspective that creates the fullness of the picture of love. And so allows us to experience love from every point of view so that we have that fullness and so that the soul can learn. And because of that, I have this understanding that through each lifetime that we connect during a moment of regression, we get to understand how we've done it in other lifetimes. And that informs us and empowers us, shows us the bigger picture, so that in this lifetime we can say, I get it. Now I know exactly what to do.
I love what you said. That is so beautiful. And I see it like that as well. It's like, it's almost like when we come in and we're tapped with that wand of amnesia, we might experience not love. And our love equal sign is love equals abandonment or love equals betrayal. So So that will be our formula for love, and then we end up attracting that same person in our adult life to mirror what we couldn't figure out how to heal in our childhood with our dysfunctional families. And so we start out with the not love formula, and then we have the opportunity to come full circle with what love is after we've healed it. So I love what you said. I think that's brilliant. And it's almost as if the soul is so intelligent and it knows exactly what it wants to have an adventure with in order to come full circle and expand out into a bigger knowing of itself through humanness. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, yes. I believe that we are here on Earth not so that we somehow purify our souls and somehow become better then. I believe that we are here on Earth so that through the specific focus we give ourselves at the beginning of our lives, you know, because otherwise there's so many different socioeconomic situations, so many different belief systems, so many cultural groups and enclaves we can be on Earth. So we pick our family because these are the people who have all those attributes who will, in a way, create the confines through which we then grow and see and perceive the world. And so our job here on Earth as a soul is to have that set up so we can have the start in life and then understand ourselves as the masterful creators of our existence. In other words, the application of our thoughts and our energy and our words and our speaking and our visioning and our actions, how all of that creates results. And the reason why we experience pain is not because there's somebody out there in the ether keeping score of us and saying, in another lifetime you've been a bad boy or a bad girl and now you've got to, you know, this is retribution, you got to pay for it, this is what karma is. The reason why it doesn't feel good when we get in these situations is because how else would you learn to apply your energy but by seeing the direct results of it, right? Mm-hmm. So when we use our energy and attention and thoughts and beliefs consciously, we get to have these beautiful experiences and we feel good. And let's admit it, we don't pause and think much. We just take it for granted. It's always those moments that really shatter us to the core, that really hurt us so much, that get us to pause and say, okay, what am I doing? How can I do it differently? Can I learn? What can I learn in this situation? And that's really what gets us to become better manifestors of our existence, you know, better creators of our life. So when people have these repetitive patterns that we call karma, when people have these repetitive patterns of relationships, money, career, you name it, right, health issues, it's not that they're being punished. It's really that they're simply kind of absolving themselves of the responsibility of being conscious in the use of their energy. And so it's really the moment of healing is really a moment of empowerment, because as we start on this journey of why is this happening? You know, what am I learning here? We eventually always get to the place of seeing the bigger picture and consciously saying, okay, I forgive, I let go. This is how I'm directing myself from here on. And that's the reason why I love past life regression so much, because it's such an extraordinary tool that gets people right to the core of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to understand, this is the issue that I'm experiencing, and this is how it has played out in other lifetimes. And there's something so magical and so extraordinary, and I gotta say, so quick about past life regression. When a person connects with that core issue in another lifetime and they cry the tears, so they laugh the laughter, they come out of it and they're like, I get it. I'm not the same anymore. I'm a different person. I choose to take different action. I choose to make different choices from here on. And those are very quick. They're very easy. It's not the let's keep on chewing on the same issue year after year after year. You know, the transformation is so quick, and that's what I love about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. So it's an opportunity with what the heaviness that shows up in our lives in any kind of different form is a potential opportunity to heal.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Yes. And I wanted to ask you, do you have some stories that pop up as we're having this conversation that our listeners might be inspired by, you know, health issues or relationship issues where you've worked with a client and it's been a wow factor resolution?
I have so many stories. I have notebooks and notebooks filled with stories. So I can think of people who have healed digestion issues, people who have worked on healing thyroid conditions successfully, people who have improved their vision, people who have sciatica pain that is gone, people who have had severe abandonment issues, people who needed to forgive, people with sexually transmitted diseases, people who have been carrying a lot of anger and a lot of guilt around abortions they have done. The grief. Grief is another good example of when people lose others, how powerful past life regression is in helping that. Yeah. So what I'm really saying is that there isn't a physical or an emotional condition that you cannot address through past life regression, but because no matter what the issue is, behind it there is a mental perception, a belief, a perspective on seeing the world that is rigid, that doesn't allow for growth, that is really stagnant, that really it bumps people into the expansion of their soul and becoming more of themselves. So naturally that translates into anger and powerlessness and all sorts of medical and emotional issues. So what past life regression does is it goes to the core of it. It looks to the root of the issue, and we address it right where it begins, as opposed to the surface symptom, which if successfully addressed through a medical, you know, traditional route, sometimes might as well just come back in a different place of the body because it just wasn't really healed at its core.
Mm-hmm. When I have a question. When you have worked with people in the past and they've, you know, found a significant past life or parallel life adventure, do they recognize similar people in this lifetime in those previous lifetimes?
Yeah, very often. Sometimes it's relevant to what they're going through and sometimes it's not. And yet we connect with souls that we have connected in one lifetime through our other lives, just because, you know, in one life we started the story and the learning together, so let's keep on going together. Such a beautiful job is done by the movie The Cloud Atlas, which so beautifully portrays the intricacies of our relationships and how we continue to encounter each other in life after life. And that is such a comforting thing for people to learn and to understand when they lose somebody they love, but also so useful in people healing relationships and learning how to move on, learning how to heal those relationships and either stay in them or truly just move on.
Mm. Can you say the name of that movie again, please, Mira?
Oh, I cannot believe you didn't recognize it.
No.
It's a movie called Cloud Atlas, and Tom Hanks is one of the actors. Halle Berry is the other name that pops in my mind as an actress in the movie. And it's a movie that has different storylines that intersect and interweave to create this beautiful time and space story of all these souls going on this journey of becoming more of themselves. And it's truly a movie that you want to watch two or three times just to actually understand it, because then you start realizing, wow, this is really the story of my own soul, you know, and those souls that I go through life with. Just such a beautiful example of their interweaving and the connections we have, because here's how you can recognize those soulmates of yours. And I use the term not romantically, but just, you know, friends of your soul that you do things together. Usually those are the people who create strong emotions in you, be it the emotion of love and instant recognition, or the emotion of I hate you, I cannot stand you, and I don't understand why, but I need to run away. Right? So that's one. Or the other one is that moment of here's a young people example. Being on Tinder and swiping through pictures of all these men and all these women, you know, looking for a date, looking for a match, looking for your soulmate, and then you come across a picture and your whole being just bursts open and you're like, I need to connect with you. Or that moment of just meeting somebody, looking them in the eyes. You know, that was the modern day example. Or that moment of meeting somebody, looking them in the eyes and saying, oh, hi, it's good to see you again. I have a strong recognition that this is not the first time we know each other. Mm-hmm. I might not know who is your second grade teacher and what's your favorite flavor of ice cream, but I know you. Mm-hmm. Or those are the people who are our children and our spouses and our parents, because you know that core group in your next lifetime might be your aunt or your grandmother or your distant cousin, but it's that love that keeps on bringing us together.
Mm-hmm. What would you say to someone that is really interested in doing their own personal regression? Do you have some advice or direction through your work that you would advise?
Oh, absolutely. So I am, first of all, let me tell you, I'm so thrilled if you're interested in exploring your past lives, because for me that is such an extraordinary tool, first for healing, right? First for healing emotionally, whatever you have going on, but then it's actually a tool for knowing the divine. Mm. In my book, I talk about stories, my book being Beyond Past Lives. I talk about stories of people who get to witness how souls are created. They get to see how their own soul was created. They get to experience what the divine is. So truly, the first step in using past life regression always is, let me hear what I have going on. And then people continue using it to know more of themselves, for their personal direct knowing of the divine, right? That spiritual growth within. And so if you're interested, there's so many ways to go about this. The easiest way is to go to my website, neerakelly.com, and download my past life regression, guided past life regression recording, because the moment you have it downloaded, you can immediately do your very first regression. Another resource is for people to get my book, Beyond Past Lives, and dive into this idea that I have shared of lifetimes being parallel and how you can actually use that in your present life. Diving so much deeper into everything I spoke of your purpose, healing, growing into your authentic self, creating loving partnerships. And on the back of that book, Beyond Past Lives, I have a script that people can use. So you know, two friends can get together and one can play the regressionist and one can be the subject and they can reverse roles. I know of many people who've done this for each other, and you know, it's just a beautiful sharing and connection, and but also a very useful way to receive guidance and healing. So those are two very easy places people can dive in, and people can find my book either on my website, MiraKelly.com, on Amazon, or truly anywhere they buy their books.
Okay, good. Good to know, Mira. Another question pops up for me. Do you ever have clients that come to you that have somehow had a spontaneous opening into a past life that got triggered and they just didn't know what was going on?
Oh, absolutely. I love that you're asking this question. So there is a few ways people connect with their past lives, and it's a very normal thing for people to spontaneously have that perception and tuning into another lifetime, because we are always connected to our other lifetimes. They are not something that is removed away from us. So one way we connect with them is in our dreams, and many people have dreams of their other lifetimes. Another way is the way kids, especially little children up until the age of 6, spontaneously start telling their parents about past lives they have lived, and things like, "Mommy, do you remember when I was your, say, grandmother or your mother, and how we did this and that?" You know, kind of little cute things like that, or stories. And the other thing is when people just, even as adults, spontaneously connect with past lives, and they just have this moment of, as if the vision in front of them, the mind's eye screen changes, and they just attune to another lifetime. And although they're beautiful and they're present for so many people, but truly, the most common way people experience their past lives is through regression, because you set out to do it and you accomplish it, as opposed to hoping and praying that someday you might spontaneously connect with a past life.
Mm-hmm. I sometimes wonder if the epidemic of panic attacks is the invitation to touch the panic that may need to be healed from parallel experiences. What do you think of that?
What a good inquiry. What a good question. And as a general answer, without knowing a specific case, right, I would say, well, why not? Absolutely. Look into this, especially phobias, right? Phobias are such an easy thing for people to heal through regression. Yeah. I mean, oh, God, easy. I think I can think now of a story of a woman who emailed me, and she said, "Mira, I need to go to a wedding, and I developed this severe panic attack about being on airplanes out of the blue. I used to be fine, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, I reached this age, and I started having this phobia of flying, and now I got to fly across the country, and I'm terrified." And so she got my CD, she downloaded my past life regression CD, she did a regression, and she experienced herself as one of the people who was part of the cultural elite of Atlanta. And I believe the time frame was in the 1960s. And so she experienced herself as this woman who was sitting at an airport, Charles de Gaulle, in Paris, waiting to board a plane to come back from Paris back to Atlanta, and she had the experience of having been in Paris as part of this group that flew out to Atlanta, out of Atlanta to Paris, basically on a cultural trip, right, to visit museums and to connect with a cultural history in Paris. And so, unfortunately, the airplane had a crash, and it was a crash that she died in, and it corresponds to the age that she developed a phobia in. Mm. And lo and behold, everything was so vivid and so rich with details for her that she decided to research it on the internet. And sure enough, she emailed me and she was like, there is all these articles, there is all this proof, this is unbelievable.
Wow.
And so I said, if somebody with a panic attack or a phobia of some sort is listening to us and saying, wow, I wonder if this might be my solution, the answer is absolutely, why not give it a try? Now, in this woman's case, the extraordinary thing is, of course, that she was able to research it and have all the proof. Most people are not able to, because most lifetimes don't come with the same level of details and the same level of record keeping, right, and that the person can verify, because some lifetime where you just crossed a bridge in some city in Northern Ireland, go figure, right?
Mm-hmm.
But just the experience in reliving that frees you. So truly, I don't want people to be hung up on the idea of, can I actually verify this? I really want them to go for, let's experience and let's get the benefit out of it.
Right. And, excuse me, as you were talking, it was reminding me, when I first decided I was going to do this interview series, I was so excited because what I really wanted to call it was the epigenetics of the soul. And it just was thrilling to me. My hair was standing on end when I came up with, you know, when that came in for me. And I realized nobody would know what I was talking about, because epigenetics is kind of like a scientific term. But do you see where I'm going with that idea, that the soul does have an epigenetic nature?
You know, the soul is limitless, and as you and I spoke, it gets to know more of itself through us. So truly, when you were asking me earlier about healing, truly every step of the way and every challenge we're faced with is all about integration and us becoming more of ourselves and knowing more of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And those hidden little stories that are, you know, it also parallels my idea of the Akashic Records. So, you know, can you speak on that? Does it feel like this might be the Akashic Records that you're tapping into?
Well, for every person, it's a different experience. But first, the lawyer in me is asking for a definition. What do you understand by Akashic Records?
Well, I understand it, I guess, to put it in linear words, would be like a library of all of the experiences of the soul, past, present, and future, potentiated in this library. And I understand that the chakras and our energy field and our cellular and solar memory is all part of this Akashic Record library. And I don't know firsthand enough to speak on it. I am going to be speaking with Linda Howe, who is just a fantastic expert in the field. But it's so yummy, and I don't want to take you out of your, you know, what you do. It's just an interesting idea that was coming up for me around the parallel lives and the Akashic Records.
I really appreciate the question, and I absolutely have no problem answering it. But, you know, I figure it's a very good thing for us to be speaking about the same thing, because we throw these terms around, and yet each one of us has a different perception of it, right?
Oh, yes.
Just like the word surrender for somebody, it might mean powerlessness, and for another person, it might mean I'm actually having faith. I'm so in my power that nothing can stop me, right? So
exactly.
That's why, like, let's be on the same same page. I believe when people connect with their past lives, so to speak, when they do a regression with me, each one of us gets exactly what we need. Each one of us gets to connect with exactly the experience that will serve us in the highest good and our highest potential. For some of us, that is to connect with a past life and in human terms, right? And so for others, it will be to experience the soul through the different dimensions. For others, it's to experience themselves as flowers, as monkeys, as extraterrestrials, as alien beings on other dimensions, as spirit guides, as angels. In other words, there truly isn't a limit. Or as I was speaking earlier, people have mystical experiences during their regressions where they get to know more of the order of the divine out there, right? The spontaneous brilliance of the universe. And so truly, because of that, I can say that your question about the Akashic Records, yes and no. Everybody experiences what is most appropriate for them. But it occurred to me that I can add to this conversation and to this question something that you didn't ask, but I find very intriguing. So when a person does connect with a past life, what they always do is they say, I. In other words, either they visually see it in front of them and they say, I see a movie and I see myself, or they say, I embody this person and this is what's happening to me. And so this contributes to the idea of me in this past life as opposed to another part of my soul in this parallel life. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so I came to the understanding that the reason why it feels like it is me who was this slave, it was me who was this woman sitting at an airport in Paris hours away from her death, is because what happens during regression is the person naturally merges their energy, if you will. They raise their vibration and their energy, and they come, if you will, to the level of their oversoul. And the oversoul is really like the mothership. It's the hub where all these pieces of itself get to be pulled out and create all these different lifetimes. So in a way, what a person does is it merges with the energy of the oversoul where all these other lifetimes feed into and feel like they are the lifetimes of this oversoul. So from that moment of timeless now, then the person can now, from that higher perspective, the person can merge into a future life or a past life or a parallel life just as easily. And it always feels like it's me who's experiencing this. So in a way, I can create an analogy between what you described as the Akashic Records and the Oversoul, right? Because the Oversoul is experiencing all those other lifetimes right now as existing right now. And so you can say that that's the library. This energy that we call the soul, the oversoul, being the depository of all these experiences.
Mm. I love what you said, and I wrote this down while you're talking about the oversoul. The moment of the timeless now. I love that.
Thank you. Because
beautiful.
That's where our soul resides, and we have this perception of time being linear here on Earth, and yet it's the way our mind organizes time frames and experiences. But the moment we start opening up to the idea that time is simultaneous, it really allows us to see miracles as something that is ordinary. It's the normal nature of reality. It allows us to see what we desire as our dreams, as our future, as our goals, as something that exists right now, that is parallel, right, sitting right next to me in another time stream, and I can tune and open up to it and trust that it's right there by aligning with that vision of being but myself. You know, in other words, there's so many other implications of how you can use this idea of timelessness And those are just two very quick examples.
One quick question. What would you say to people that have tried to have a life or past life regression and they don't see anything or they don't go there?
And sometimes what happens is the person is actually, there's two reasons why this happens. The first being is the person is a little concerned what they're going to find out. Sadly, so many of us carry the belief that we are wrong, that we are bad, that we have done bad things. So people say to me, I'm a little concerned about seeing something horrible that I've done in another lifetime and stressing myself even more so in this lifetime, right? So that's like the guilt before you even have done anything. And so that's one reason why. And the other reason why is people so desperately hold on to this process and say, I need this to work. I really need for this to be my answer because I'm so desperately out of solutions. And that, you know, that in a way just blocks the opening. So as long as people can set aside both these and just open up to regression and say, oh, well, let's see just what comes up. I'll decide how I feel about it later. The experience will be there.
Is it possible that if a person continually gets the same experience that they actually are in a past life where they were alone?
I don't understand your question.
So if they go into the regression and they're aware of themselves but they're not aware of anything else or anyone else, I'm just wondering, is it possible that maybe they were, you know, in a cave or in a, you know, somewhere where they were living a life of aloneness.
And just like you described it, that's exactly how the person will perceive it. In other words, if they perceive themselves as alone, they will know, I'm a monk, I'm a nun, I live in a cave removed away from people. In other words, the details will be there. The person will perceive more just than, I don't see anybody, I must be alone.
Okay, so that would be a clue to what's going on in this lifetime if that was their experience.
It will help them understand the challenges in this life. Mm-hmm. So for example, I worked with a man who lost his mother very early on. He was 13 years old when she died of cancer. 5 years later, when he was 18 years old, he lost his beloved uncle who, you know, stepped in and basically raised him again, same kind of cancer. And so now, by the age of 18, this man was completely certain that the greatest tragedies of his life happened to him, that he's always going to be abandoned, that he's always alone. And guess what? He had quite a lot of trouble in his intimate relationship because he either chose love where the woman would hurt him and betray him by cheating on him, or he very quickly learned that you don't even let that happen. You know, by the 3 month mark, you just abandon it, you run, and you don't allow for a relationship to unfold. And so what he experienced is he experienced himself as a man who was alone, truly having lost his family to a tragedy, and basically moving through life and through the world completely alone and completely with that feeling of, I've got nobody, I've got nothing to hold on to. And it gave him an understanding of that was another lifetime. I understand everything that happened to me. Through the additional work we did, he got to learn by connecting with his guides and with his teachers what was the purpose and the reason why he lost his family early on. And it also gave him the understanding and the lesson and the learning of smile, connect, everybody has the feeling of being alone. So by reaching out to them, you will find out that everybody has that sense of, I'm all alone, nobody gets me. And by you reaching out to people, you can create families everywhere you go. You can create your community. And it's okay for you to trust being loved, and it's okay for you to trust the loyalty of love, and so on and so forth. So does that make sense?
Oh, that's how, beautiful. That's beautiful. Because I think there are a lot of people, you know, that will, are listening in and maybe feel that sense of separation or aloneness based on, you know, maybe a story similar to what you've just told. I love that.
Very few of us don't feel alone, I got to tell you. I think it's truly that sense of having stepped out of the connection of the divine by, as you said it so poetically earlier on, by being tapped on by the magic wand of forgetfulness and truly allowing our ego to reinforce the idea of separateness, because in reality we're never alone. But if you don't open up to the understanding of connection, and if you don't look to reinforce that belief that you're always surrounded by love, that you always can create meaningful relationships, that the universe supports you, that there's help, you're not going to see it. In other words, you're going to perceive exactly what you believe. And so that experience was so informative for this man to give him the understanding of, it starts with you. Reach out. You will be okay. People will meet you with love. They need love just as much as you do.
Beautiful. When you talk about this separation and this where we are isn't necessarily our home. As I was growing up, I was raised Roman Catholic, but I keep what I love about it, and I let go of most of the other stuff. And something that really stuck with me was some words in the Bible that Jesus said, I am in this world, but I'm not of this world. That gave me so much comfort, because I personally felt like, Where is home? This doesn't feel like home. So, you know, that ties in with the loneliness that you're talking about.
I really love that you brought this up, because it gives me an opportunity to comment on this. I just came back from a workshop that I did in Seattle, and this beautiful woman had experienced a lifetime as a fairy. And as this fairy, there was so much magic, so much connection, such an extraordinary sense of being part of love, you know, part of the vibration of love and the effortlessness of life. And so ever since that experience, it has been such a hard thing for her to stay put, you know, that longing for something else, and saying this life is not what it's supposed to, right? It should be different. I want to go back. And I've heard so many other people voice the same sentiment of, I want to go back to where I belong, because I don't belong here. Nobody understands me. Nobody gets me. And there's that feeling of somehow life being less than. And I have experienced that myself, right? When I was struggling through the years of being an attorney and saying, what is my truth? What is my path? What is my purpose? Why am I here? Why do I feel so lost and so disconnected? And somebody told me something so wise back then. They said to me, you know, it's not about running away to heaven. It's about bringing heaven here on earth. Because when your soul chose this life for you, your soul knew exactly what it was doing. You knew what you were doing by getting yourself down here on earth and creating this life for yourself. And give yourself permission to live fully, to love fully, to be your true self. And then by knowing yourself and trusting yourself more and knowing more of your power, life will become an ecstatic explosion of synchronicities. And you wouldn't even think about going anywhere else, because you'll be like, I am having so much fun here. Why would I even wish for another place? This is fun. It's challenging, but it's a creative challenge. Mm. So that's how I want our listeners who are having this trouble, I want them to reframe it in their mind and really allow themselves to have fun, because life can be fun.
Oh, that is so beautiful. What a lovely way to wrap up our call today, Mira. Thank you for bringing that forward. I love that.
Thank you.
We have a special gift for our listeners. Can you tell them a little bit about it?
I would love to. It's a meditation I call the Trust Meditation. And I created this meditation when I was looking to trust myself and my ability to step into this calling that I was feeling of helping people through past life regression, but also trusting that I can support myself financially by doing this work full time. And so the word trust was significant for me because I knew that the moment I believe it, the moment I have faith in it, I'm going to see it out in the world. I'm going to create that experience. And so I knew that trust was my place of growth there. And as we earlier spoke, trust is not about blindly, you know, just saying, I trust, but it's truly about a very empowering moment of saying, I'm being supported, I'm being guided, I'm trusting my instincts, I'm trusting the signs, and my life is an extraordinary expansion and fulfillment of all my desires. And so I created this little mantra for myself. I trust myself, I trust my life, I trust the universe. And out of this little mantra grew out the trust meditation. And this meditation is so powerful. I hear such extraordinary stories from people from all over the world reaching out to me and saying, I've been listening to this meditation consistently over and over, and it has brought me so much peace. It has brought out all these talents, all this clear-headedness on what is the way for me and how to create what is it that I want, that I'm very grateful. So I really encourage all of our listeners to get the meditation. It's really going to be one of those tools that you will come back to. And the more you use it, the more you will get the benefit out of truly the universe stepping in and helping you create the life of your dreams.
Wow, that is a beautiful, beautiful gift. Thank you so much for bringing that to us. I think it's going to be really beautiful and effective. And can people reach out if they have stories about how it's changed their lives?
Oh, I would love to. Absolutely. So people can get the meditation, I presume, at the link you're going to provide them.
Yes.
But also they can go on my website, mirakelly.com, and just see right at the top of the page how they can download the meditation. And yes, please email me at info@mirakelly.com. And tell me your stories with the trust meditation. Tell me your regression stories. And, of course, if you want us to work together and explore your past lives with my guidance, ask for that as well.
Oh, that's beautiful. And would it be a good idea for them, let's say they did want to reach out to you and have a regression session, would you recommend that they listen to download your regression and get themselves kind of prepared beforehand?
Sometimes people say, you know, this is important, I'm going to go straight to working with you. And I actually felt that way when I was looking to heal my TMJ condition. I wanted somebody to guide me because it was important that I actually do find that relief and physical healing. And so that's what people say. Sometimes they go straight to saying, I need to work with you personally. And other people say, you know what, I feel comfortable with doing the recording first. And absolutely, that's why it's there, whatever your intuition speaks
right.
to you.
Right. Oh, good. So they have the option.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that a lot. So, Mira, thank you so much once again. And I'm sure our listeners are going to get so much out of this beautiful call. I really appreciate you and what you do, what you bring to the world with your beautiful passion.
Thank you very much. It was such a pleasure speaking with you, Donna.
Oh, okay, my dear. All righty. Well, you have a beautiful day, and I look forward to all the wonderful callers that are going to reach out to you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye for now.